Well, praise God. I was taken aback by a couple of things here in Proverbs. One is, they'll seek me early, shall find me. I find myself needing God, and He tells you, seek me early, and you shall find me. I'm going to take Him at His word. The other thing is God has set the limits of the sea. Kind of debunks the whole people freaking about Earth and the polar caps flooding until God says, you can cross these bounds. The oceans aren't going anywhere. So we can trust Him. I've been listening to Chuck Missler, and he says that Proverbs 8 is a description of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Check that out and pray through that and see if that doesn't strike a chord with you. So, Adam is on vacation this week, so I'm going to try to cover. We'll look at Jude this morning. I'm going to read through it, and then we'll try to unpack as far as we can, and then there's a lot of material here. It's worth a study through this very rich ground. There's a lot of references off to other parts of scriptures that is worth digging into. And hopefully I can whet your appetite to do just that. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the holy Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they knew not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are, without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, The Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, have men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Okay, got that? Let's go home. thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Lord, speak to our hearts today what you would have us to say. Lord, it's written hundreds of years ago, but yet so timely is right where we're at in this time. Lord, equip your saints that we may contend earnestly for the faith, that we may honor and glorify you, that, Lord, help us to seek you daily, moment by moment, to for our daily bread, for our needs, for our strength, for our joy, for our peace. Lord, give us mercy. We're in so much in need of it. In your precious, holy, and wonderful name we pray. Amen. So Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James. We're talking about a half-brother of Jesus Christ. James, also the author of James, the elder half-brother of Christ. If you look at John... What did I do? I lost my notes. Matthew 13, 55, or Mark 6, 2. Jesus is back in Judea, and he's teaching in the synagogue. And when it's picking up in 53, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, back into Galilee, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence came this man all these things? And it goes on. So, and Mark has that same account of all the names of the brothers. So Jesus grew up in this house, full house, you know, a carpenter's house. So Jude, also known as Judas, the traitor, right? Judas was a very common name in that day. We don't use it much anymore because of it's so synonymous with Judas, the betrayer. And yet, written, Jude and John were some of the longest standing. Jude wasn't one of the apostles, one of the 12, but John, one of the 12, was the last to remain, and Jude would have been his contemporary. He's speaking to the apostates, those who are turned from the Lord, the ungodly, those who don't reverence God. That's what ungodly means. If you don't reverence God or the things of God, then that's ungodliness. And that could be tied to one of the examples that's given later on in the text of Cain, right? Cain is ungodly sacrifice because he didn't follow the edicts or the sacrifice that was shown to him by his father and by the Lord of it's by blood. But he brought his goods by pride, as it were. He wasn't certainly thinking of the things of God and walking in those steps, ungodliness. But Jude, I'm getting ahead of myself, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by the word, by God and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Preserved, John 6:39, it says, of all those that the Father had given, right, and I'm paraphrasing, Jesus says, of all those that the Father had given me, I shall lose none. We are preserved, we're sanctified, we're set apart, and we're God's got us. It's not that we have something to bring to the table. I often joke with my bride, and it bugs her, I'm sure, but that I started with nothing and I have most of it left. Well, that's true. There's nothing in me that commends me to God. Jesus Christ saved me by his grace, and I stand before you saved, or I don't, because there's nothing in me that makes me worthy. It's Jesus Christ. It's his work. It's his mercy. It's his grace by which I am saved. Grace is getting that which we do not deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. And so verse 2 goes on. It says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Mercy, because we are traitors. We are sinners. We still fail. We read through the Pauline epistles, and it's grace and peace. Because if we don't know the grace of God, if we're not saved, if we're not renewed in the blood, and we're not sanctified and set apart to God, then we don't know his peace. In Isaiah, it says, the wicked do not know God's peace, cannot know God's peace. So we see grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace. And here we see mercy and peace and love be multiplied unto you. Love is our ID, right? God, Jesus says, they will know you by the love that you have. Mercy, because we need it so much. Love, and the obviously the peace that passes all understanding. Romans 5:1. I have it too far ahead here. Back up. So as you read through this and study through this, because we're not going to get through it all today. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So reading the whole thing again, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise his name. And that it's multiplied, not just added, but multiplied. Beloved, I have a beloved by the grace of God. Looking 30 some odd years together, closing in on 40. We are beloved. We are his bride. John 14:23. So as you study through this, I started to say it and I went off topic here. Chase these scriptures out. You know, look at like a concordance or a blue letter Bible if you don't want to have a big concordance set. Chase down the words, chase down the verses, because this is a gold mine. This will send us, you know, all through the scriptures. And Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Keep my words. And John, and you know, more of the same line. I mean, this is throughout all the scriptures. We find it, you know, John 16:27, the Father himself loveth you because ye have loved me and believed that I came from God. I mean, just picking the scriptures right out, you know, it's John 17:20. Anytime that you pick up John 17, right? John 17:20, neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words. Talking to us. We're the ones that believe through their word. It's just, back to Jude. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Needful, binding, we were constrained. He sat down to write of the common salvation, and the Spirit says, I need you to write this. And even in that, you see that the Spirit was leading and guiding. You remember in Peter, it says, all scripture is given by the Spirit and is good for edification. Faith. If we look at Luke 18:8, it says, oh, I'm ahead of myself, I'm sorry. Ephesians 6 is earnestly contend. All right, we need to be fighting the apostasy that we're affronted with on a daily basis. They're espousing a way that is contrary to the scriptures. Right, Black Lives Matter. Yeah, well, all lives matter. But if you say that, you're contrary to their way, and they will contend with you. Call you a hypocrite, call you a hater. All lives matter. God says so in his word. Life is precious. That's just one. But there's so many ways they want to contend and walk out of the way of Christ. And they don't want to hear from us. But we need not follow their way, because we need to contend for the faith that Christ has given us. Beloved, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. If you look at, I didn't get the notes, but in Thessalonians and Timothy and Peter, it talks of the great falling away that's coming, that is upon us in these end times. And I didn't get the scripture written down. It's the reason that we need to know God's word, be familiar with it. Spend the time reading it, but I don't spend the time memorize it, and I can't find it when I need it. It says doctrines of demons and seducing spirits. There are those that rise up among you, even in our midst, who teach false. And we need to be aware of God's word and know God's word so that we don't get caught up in those false teachings, those heresies. In Ephesians 6, we need to put on the whole armor of God, that we can stand firm in the faith. In Nehemiah, when they were rebuilding the wall, Nehemiah 4:17 and 18, they're called to the work. Their work was to rebuild the wall. But they were in such contention and such peril that they had the trowel in one hand to do the work and the sword in the other to defend. And we need to be in that state as we're in these times. Beloved, while I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Back to Luke 18:8 says, when the Lord comes, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Are we going to be like the Galatians, where we chase off on false or foolish Galatians, who is so easily bewitched you that we followed off onto something? We need to be diligent to seek the Lord's face, because it's not us. It's not on us. Jesus Christ is going to keep us. But we need to be in his word. We need to be in that love that he brought. I'm going to read through this yet again. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. False teaching, heresies that abound in this, in and out of the church, sadly. ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them and believed not. One of the nuggets that we can chase, right? Here's the people of Israel are in Egypt. They're being oppressed. The slavery, the Egyptians have taken to killing the children, drowning them in the Nile. The Lord comes in, uses Moses, the plagues, delivers his people out of Israel through the Red Sea. And yet, many of them die in the wilderness without ever going into the promised land because of unbelief. They go to Kadesh Barnea because, you know, we're studying this in Deuteronomy, right? They go to Kadesh Barnea, that place of choosing, and rather than trusting the Lord is going to slay the giants in the land, the giants that Carl's mentioning this morning in our land, that we're trusting in the Lord. No, we choose barrenness. We wander in the wilderness. We choose death. And so, you know, he's recounting that. Another one he recounts is the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under judgment of the great day. The reserve, the binding, the everlasting chains, the binding, the constraining of whatever those creatures are that are bound till the day when the great day, which is be judgment, right? This is on the, this is the vestibule to Revelation, right? And here we are with angels which are bound, and you can chase this out, study it out in the scriptures. I listened to a lot of Chuck Missler as I was going through this, which is trying to drink from a fire hose. It just, there's so much. And he does a great study into that, which I cannot bring back to you. But the fallen angels are Satan, a third of the heavenly host. And Missler can take you through the study, and you can look it up for yourselves as to when this happened. But Jesus Christ descended into hell, as Peter, I believe, is the one that recounts this, and pulls back the keys of the kingdom, I can't think of his name. He taught on it, was talking smack to these guys who had left their first estate, who had out of their pride and arrogancy wanted to be worshipped as God. And then another, in verse 7, he goes on, he says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, another one that Carl touched this morning, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. These people are chasing after things that are ungodly, and this is the result of it, right? In Proverbs this morning, we read the last verse, right? Those who don't love me love death, or hate, or that's the gist of it. Let's go that far. So likewise, we're still talking about the apostate, right? Those who are not following after the Lord. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. How often will profane something that we don't have any right to talk to about? I know I do. don't like to be dominated, don't like to be under somebody's rule, and find it hard to talk well of our current administration, speak evil of dignities. You know, God's allowed this man to rule and reign. I need mercy. Pray for me. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." We don't know anything about that. Here's Jude speaking about something as if it's common knowledge, but yet nowhere in Scripture do we have this account. Obviously, the Lord had a purpose for the body of Moses. I think we'll see it from the mezzanine, as I think he is one of the two witnesses outside of Jerusalem in Revelation, as brought to us in Revelation, but we don't know that. But Michael, the archangel, definite article, one archangel, when contending with the devil, didn't bring railing accusations. We ought not to bring railing accusations. It's not one of our team plays. But again, back to the apostate, right? Those who don't follow after the Lord, they speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. What, you know, that's the marks of the apostate, right? Is ungodly men, back in verse 4, ungodly men turning the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. I had three of them. I have only got two. Ungodly, which is not reverencing the things of the Lord, and denying and chasing after lasciviousness. So those are the markers, right? The apostate in verse 4. And these three examples, woe unto you, for they have gone in the way of Cain. We talked about that a little bit earlier. Cain being ungodly, bringing forth fruit and vegetables rather than the blood offering that God has ordained. In the era of Balaam, you remember Balaam and his donkey who says, "Why are you beating me?" Right? The whole story, go read it through, study it through. But Balaam is using the gifts that God has given him, being a prophet and being to greedily get gain for himself. He's being asked by Balak. I want to say he was a Moabite, but I'm not sure on that, to curse the people of Israel, and he'll give him great gain. God says no, but he does it anyway. Sets an angel before him with a flaming sword. The donkey goes out of the path and grinds his leg against a stone wall, and Balaam gets upset and has a discourse with his donkey. Which one was the out of line there? But the lasciviousness, having license, using grace as a license to sin so that we might get gain. Lord, help us. And perished in the gainsaying of Kor. This is another story you remember. They're in the camp, and Moses has come down from the mountain, and he's laying out what God has told him up there. This is how we're to live. This is how we're to. He's the leader. And Kor stands up with his followers and says, "Who made you ruler? We can do this just as well as anybody else." Who would, in verse 8, despise dominion and speak evil of dignities. And I'm pretty sure that chronologically you'll find these are out of order, because there's something else in the structure here that's worth digging into to find. But we find these examples parallel what we're seeing in verse 4, ungodly, lascivious, chasing after gain, and denying. And we find those parallels all throughout. And that's why I say it's a gold mine. It's worth studying out. Verse 12, these are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea foaming out their shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. So proud and arrogant, so that they would sit down and feed themselves without fear in the way that's out of the way. But it comes to naught. This trees without fruit, this fruit whose fruit withereth, without fruit. Think of the parable of the sowers and the seeds and the soils, right? The seed is the word of God, and it's cast out on the four soils. The birds pluck away the seed. Well, obviously those, they're not getting it. But the shallow soil, the seed takes and sprouts right up, but then withers out because there's no depth, there's no root. Doesn't produce fruit. That crop can't fruit because it can't draw from the vine. It can't draw from the earth to sustain itself. Much like this, right? It withers. It doesn't have fruit. And what do you know, as we're gardeners, what do we do with a plant that withers and doesn't produce fruit? We snatch it out, throw it in the fire. It's just taking up space in the garden and prohibiting other plants that are producing fruit from doing what they need to do. Raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness. Clouds without rain. Here we are in a time of drought where we need rain. Clouds passing over and not dropping rain is not a blessing. Winds that tear things up. Enoch, verse 14, Enoch also with the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. The story of Enoch in Genesis. Enoch was in right, we start out, we're going to read the Bible all the way through, and we get to Genesis 5 and lose our minds because it's so boring, this genealogy. Enoch's in that genealogy. Enoch was a prophet who walked with the Lord, and the Lord took him home. So there's no record of Enoch passing because the Lord took him. Enoch's son is named Methuselah. Methuselah means when he dies, it will come. Methuselah is Noah's grandfather, I believe. Again, study these things out. There's some beautiful stories here. Study the name, the meaning of the names, not just the the bringing them from the Aramaic or the Hebrew to English so that we can pronounce them, but the actual meaning of the names, because you see. Seth is appointed, means appointed. Adam means man. There's some beautiful things that we miss sometimes just by staying stuck in our English. Some of the Greek and the Hebrew is rich with the meaning, the spirit. Verse 15, to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So the Lord, right? 15, behold, the Lord cometh when 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all who to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed. This is Revelation, right? We see this coming to pass from the mezzanine. Praise God. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, and have men's persons in admiration because of advantage. It's the world we live in. Don't be loving it because it's got a bad end. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles and of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last times who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Look at Peter and Timothy and Thessalonians, where it tells us the end times as those will raise up. I mean, it's all through the scriptures of Those who come in, snuck in unawares. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. They cause divisions. It says in a little side note here in my Bible. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We're very close to, if you just flip the page a couple of times, you find the seven letters to the seven churches. You remember, Ephesus was commended for keeping the word. Was that it? But they were admonished for having less their first love. And they were warned by Paul and by the Lord, return to your first love, or I shall remove your candlestick from you. And as we look at those letters in Revelation, we find they did not heed that warning, and they did not return to their first love. And so we don't visit a church in Ephesus because its candlestick was removed. So beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. Seek the Lord. Seek His direction. Be in His Word so that you are not led away by heresy, by apostate, by your flesh. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. It's written to apostates. I mean, it's written about apostates, but it's written to you and I. It's bookended on both ends that we are His children. And He is going to keep us. But be diligent. Contend for the faith. Be armored. Be ready. We live in such and such a day as we need to be prepared. Be in God's word. And be in His love. Because this world is at enmity and wants to take us out. We have an enemy who would love to. But we have a God who is faithful and able. His arm is not shortened to keep us. Praise His name. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You and praise You for Your gracious, merciful love of us. Lord, we don't have anything in us that would commend us, but You are an awesome God. You are faithful and just. In Your precious, holy, and wonderful name we pray. We ask a safe day and that we may find ourselves right in the midst of Your love. In Your precious, holy, and wonderful name we pray. Amen.